Well, it's 11:30. That's getting a little better. But we don't have no specials today. Unless you want me to sing for you. That would be special. I'm going to wait till homecoming. I'm going to surprise you at homecoming. Lord willing, that's right. It'll be a surprise, I assure you. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Everybody stand when you get there. I got one verse I want to read, and then we'll do a little moving from place to place a little bit in the Word of God this morning. Galatians chapter 6. Apostle Paul is addressing the Galatians. Is everybody there? I still hear a few pages rattling. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. This is what the Word of God declares. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall, doesn't say we might, it says we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just come before you asking you to forgive me my sins and my shortcomings and give me for anything that would keep me from being able to be a vessel you can use this morning and deliver your word. Father, I pray that you will please just speak to hearts. May your spirit move amongst us and deal with hearts this morning. And Lord, there's one here today that needs to move. May your spirit draw them to yourself. Lord, give us clarity of mind and understanding of your word. May we take these words and apply them to our lives that we as believers might be better and more fruitful to you. Lord, you've heard the prayer requests. Pray your will be done with each request as you see fit with each one. And Lord, I thank you for those that have come out to the sanctuary, Almighty God, Lord. Thank you that we're here. Lord, we're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We just, again, ask that everything that we say and do bring honor and glory to you. For we ask it in the precious name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right, if you'll be seated. Notice what Apostle Paul is saying to the Galatians. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Now that word weary, anybody ever been weary? Sure you have. You've been tired, haven't you? You ever been burned out? Sure you have. Ever been exhausted? Yes, and that's what the word weary, it means. To be tired, exhausted, burned out, to be wore out. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you are a born-again child of God, you're going to be those things. There's going to be times you don't feel like doing anything. In fact, you want to take a vacation, a spiritual vacation. Amen? You want to just do like good old Elijah. See, Elijah ran off and he got behind an old shrub, juniper tree, plopped down and said, I'm done, God. I don't want to be a prophet no longer. I'm tired of it. Just let me die. That's how wore out he was. That's how weary he was. And what made him weary was this old wicked queen named Jezebel said, you know what, old buddy? You're going to be dead just like those 450 prophets of Baal that you just took out yesterday. You're going to be as dead as one of them when I get through with you. And now here is a man that's had spiritual victory after victory after victory, but there came a time in his walk with the Lord that he says, I'm tired. I'm burned out. I'm exhausted. I just want to end it all. Let me turn in my resignation as a prophet, God. Well, let me just tell you something. When God calls you to preach, he places a call on your life. You can't retire. You can't turn in your resignation. He expects you to preach the Word of God until he says, I'm done. And you know when that is, Brother Shiro? When we take last breath and we wake up into eternity. Now, I've said it before. I know the Lord tarries and lets me live to be 80 years old or older. I'm not going to be able to pastor. I understand that. Because my body is already wearing out. Amen? It's already wearing out. I understand I won't be able to pastor. But guess what? As long as I got breath in these lungs, I'm going to brag on Jesus. Every time He opens the door and gives me an opportunity to teach a class or preach the Word of God at some church without a pastor, or that invites me to come, I'm going to brag on Jesus. The Word of God says, and not be weary in well-doing. And that well-doing means service to God. And He doesn't say we might reap. He says we shall reap if we faint not and we don't quit. You see, Elijah. You know I like the Old Testament. I've done a lot of studying the Old Testament. And I've picked certain characters. They're all good, but one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Elijah. And, you know, God finds Elijah. He's taken off. He's ran. He's hiding under a juniper tree. And God comes to him and says, where are you at? Why are you here? Could you imagine? Almighty God says to me or you, where are you at? And why are you sitting on your blessed assurance? I didn't say you could go. And of course, Elijah is like the average Baptist preacher. He's got an excuse for everything. And he says that, well, let's turn over there. Don't let me paraphrase it. Let's read it for ourselves. Go to, I think it is 2 Kings. I hope it is. If not, it's 1 Kings. Let me see. Let me make sure I'm right. Maybe it's 1 Kings. No, I think it's 2 Kings 19. See if I'm right. Maybe it's 1 Kings 19. It's over in 1 Kings, y'all. Hey, I'm human. Wow. Let me see. I could be wrong. I said 1 Kings 19. Well, didn't I say that? I said 19. But it was I was in 2 Kings, wasn't I? Hey, and I'm telling y'all that I study the Old Testament, right? Hey, I'm getting old. I can't remember. But notice what he says in verse 10. This is Elijah and his excuse. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Isn't that like the average Baptist preacher? Things ain't going good. God, I'm the only one. Those other reprobates don't want to serve you, don't want to do nothing for you. I am the only one that stuck it out. I'm the only one you can count on. And what God does later on in that chapter is in a still, small voice says, Elijah, there's still 7,000 here in Israel that has never once bowed their knee to bow. You're not the only one. In fact, I'm sure he was saying, suck it up. Amen? Suck it up. You see, we tend to want to feel sorry for ourselves. Say amen. We do. We want to feel sorry. And don't get me wrong. Listen, We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. Our enemy is the devil. And we are told to stand our ground and to put on the full armor of God so that we might be able to withstand those fiery darts that he shoots at us. And by the way, he shoots a lot of darts, doesn't he? Now, you can go to Ephesians 6 and you can read that whole thing about the armor of God. And he'll tell you about shoes and shield of faith. And you just go on down. Gospel of preparation, peace. Tell you all about those things. But did you notice he's also talking about taking on the helmet of salvation? And I often thought, helmet of salvation. Why would that be so important? Because Satan likes to attack our mind. And he uses what we call a broadsword. You know, the swords that the Romans carried were single-bladed. And they were short. And they were for close contact, close battle, hand-to-hand. But see, a broadsword was used by those in the cavalry. And it was double-handed. And those that fought back then in the cavalry would come riding down. And they would try to take your head. Okay. But those swords were double-edged. So they could sling them both ways to try to decapitate you. And of course, the helmets back then were very important because they protected your old head. Amen. You had to have some form of protection. Some of them back then were made out of real thick leather, and then they had metal plates. They even had plates around the face to protect your good looks, right? But also they had metal helmets that were literally beaten to the shape of your head. But the reason they wore those things was so that they could withstand those double-edged broadswords. But as I said again, he said, put on the helmet of salvation. It's because you and I as believers have to have on our helmet of salvation. Because the devil is going to attack one with the one side of discouragement. And by the way, a lot of people become weary because of all of the discouragement. And beloved, listen, he knows what he's doing. You see, the devil is out to what? Cause us to be discouraged in God and His blessings. He doesn't want us to trust God. He doesn't want us to rely on God. He wants to take those things away so that we are discouraged and we'll quit. And believe me, He knows what He's doing. Because there's lots of folks that aren't in church this morning that at one time they were hot for the Lord. They were in the battle. They were good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But now, they quit. Why? Because they've become discouraged. And you see, the devil wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be discouraged about our sin. Yeah, you say you're a child of God. Look at what you're watching. Look at what you're saying. Look at where you're going. Look at who you're with. Oh, he wants us to be discouraged about our sin. He wants us to be discouraged about issues in life, all of those trials we face. He wants us to be discouraged in our health issues. He loves to play on that. If God really loved you, He wouldn't let you suffer like that. If He loved you, He'd just heal you right here and now. But He don't love you. Because look at what you're going through. He wants us to also be discouraged by other people. Uh-oh, here we go. You see, we tend to watch others. Amen? We watch them. Well, they're not living right. I'm discouraged. I'm just going to quit. If that's what being a Christian is all about, I'm out of here. Well, the problem is, When you start pointing your finger at somebody else, three more are going to come right back at you because you aren't no different. All of us are flawed. All of us have issues. Amen. But the devil likes to use those because he wants you to be discouraged and quit on God. Listen, if he can get you to quit on God, that's one less he has to worry about. Because when you quit on God, you're so discouraged that you don't want to serve God no longer, then you're not going to be an influence or a testimony for the Lord. And he don't have to worry about you. He can go on to the next bully. But you see, he knows there's certain things he can't take away from us. Praise God, he can't take away our salvation. Praise God, he can't take away the church. Praise God, he can't take away who God is and why he loves us. Praise God, he can't take away the Spirit. Praise God, he can't take away what a believer has waiting for him at the end of life's way. A home in eternity with the saved. He can't take those things away. But if he can get us discouraged, he can nullify our thoughts on those things and take our mind off of those things. And guess what? We're in limbo, not serving the Lord. And that's why we got to be careful. And that's why we got to have on that helmet of salvation. And let's go over there real quick. Go over to Ephesians 6 real quick. Ephesians 6. I want you to notice a word. Brother Jerry was telling us to look at a word. I want you to also see a word. And it's me. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand." Now, when he says, take on the helmet of salvation, he's not saying, all right, you got to get saved here. These people are already saved. But he is saying that you and I are not to give ground, but we're to stand. He doesn't want us retreating. He wants us to stand and take care of the ground that's already been delivered by the Lord to us. He wants us to hang on to that. But the devil would like nothing more than to yield his broadsword of discouragement. Anybody ever been there? I have. Don't feel good, does it? I hate being there. But let me tell you, even though Elijah was a great man of God and was discouraged and had many wonderful victories, and when you think of those victories, he slew those prophets, prayed fire down from heaven, prayed that it wouldn't rain, and prayed again that it would. Elijah wasn't a young man, but the Bible says that when it began to rain, he prayed for it to rain again. That King Ahab in his chariot took off to go to Samaria. Now we're talking Mount Carmel. And those of you that's been there, that's a pretty good distance, isn't it? From Mount Carmel to Samaria. That Elijah outran the chariot of King Ahab. So you could say he's had many, many victories. And all of those victories should have kept him from being discouraged. But no, what we learn is the truth. It doesn't matter how many victories you and I have in our Christian walk, we can still get discouraged if we let the old devil keep slinging that sword of discouragement. And that's why we got to have the helmet on of salvation. I think of Job. Now, I'm going to tell you about a man that had his helmet on. I'm not saying he didn't question the Lord, because guess what? When the first thing of discouragement comes our way, we start going through issues in our life. What's the first thing me and you do? Well, we question the Lord. Why? Why, Lord? Why me? Why not you? But he was attacked by Satan and all of hell. But he had the helmet of salvation on, so he wasn't so discouraged. Now, he didn't understand why he had to lose his children. Didn't understand why he lost his health. He didn't understand, why have I worked all my life to amass what you've given me, God, and now it's all gone. But yet, Satan is wielding that old broadsword of discouragement. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor John? How do you know he wouldn't discourage? Because of what he said in chapter 13. Though he slay me, yet in him will I trust. That's how I know. Jeremiah was another one that had that helmet of salvation on. Who would have ever wanted to have been called into the ministry like poor Jeremiah? God says, listen, I got a job for you. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to be despised. You're going to be rejected. Everybody's going to hate your guts. They're going to try to take your life. But you go on and you serve me. Now, there ain't a lot of people jumping in line to get behind the pulpit. When someone tells you that, and that someone being the Lord Himself. And you know what He said? He said, I've tasted of your word. It's in my bones. Lord, I'm your man. He had on the helmet of salvation. Now, it's easy to get discouraged when things aren't going right. Amen? We all get it. It's easy to get discouraged when our prayers aren't answered just that quick. It's easy to get discouraged when our sermons and our teaching of the Word of God and the invitation given and nothing happened. It's easy to get discouraged. But listen, we've got to be mindful of what Paul tells the Galatians. Not to be weary in well-doing, serving God. For we shall reap in due time. I want to encourage you. But as I said, Satan yields the broadsword. On one side is discouragement. And guess what that other side is? It's called doubt. Doubt. You see, Satan wants us to be discouraged and to doubt God. You see, if he can get us to doubt God, he knows we're not going to serve God faithfully. And how does he call you and I to doubt God? Well, if he can cause you and I to doubt our salvation, guess what? Me and you ain't going to be actively serving the Lord. In fact, we're not going to be any good to the Lord. Because we're doubting. We don't know if we're saved or not. And beloved, I know many Christians out there that have allowed the devil to wield that sword of doubt over and over, and the sad thing is they have let the helmet of salvation off. And they've been rendered useless in serving God. How do I know that? Because the devil has taken them out of the battle. Because of doubt. Spoke to a brother this morning. And that brother was asking me questions about salvation. And I'm thankful that he's asking questions. You want to make sure that you know that you know. And he asked for some scriptures. And I gladly gave him some scriptures. And I'm so thankful that he allowed me to give him those scriptures. But there's so many scriptures when it comes to the eternal security of the believer. Listen, the Word of God says this, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. Listen to me. God wants you and I to know that. He don't want us doubting our salvation. He wants us to know we have it. Paul said this in Philippians. Once He has begun a good work in you, He is faithful to complete it. Did it say me or you? No, it says He's faithful. Once He's begun a work in you. In other words, once He saved you, He's faithful to make sure you end up in heaven. Okay? He says that there is nothing that can ever separate us, according to Romans 8, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and He gives a list of things. I think the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he didn't leave nothing out. All of those things that are listed, they can't separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He also said that my sheep know my voice, and I know them. And he goes on to say that there's nothing that can pluck us out of His hand. And the Father who is greater than me, there's no man, no object, no nothing that can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Understand, please, beloved, don't allow the devil to hit you with that broadsword of doubt. Remember what the Lord said. I think it's chapter 14. Turn over to John 14. Because it all goes back to this. John 14. Is everybody there? John 14. John 14. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Understand this morning that God don't want you to doubt. Amen. When it comes to your salvation, if you've truly been born again, you're saved. Now, let me say something. You've got to be born again. Truly born again. So, every now and then, it wouldn't hurt you to do a spiritual condition check. Amen? And what I mean by that is, go back to the moment you invited Jesus Christ into your heart and look back at that moment and ask yourself a couple questions. One, did the Holy Spirit convince me that I needed to be saved? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit must convict you over your sin and draw you to the need of accepting Christ and His finished work on the cross Alone and only alone. Nothing else. Let me encourage you. Don't be checking a couple membership boxes or a couple boxes from Baptist Salvation, because those things won't get you there. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us through faith. Amen? So ask yourself, was I convicted of my sin? Did I fully call upon the Lord and trust the Lord and only the Lord to be my Savior? And here's the big one. Was there a change in my life after doing that? You see, Apostle said, prove yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. You see, I wouldn't want anyone to have doubts, and that's not why I'm saying this. I don't want you to ever doubt your salvation, but I want you to be assured of your salvation. And I ain't saying anything to cause those doubts, but make sure. I would hate for you to have depended on good works or church membership or on something else, and you die and you wake up in the pit of hell. That's why I say examine yourself. Make sure you're saved. And if you have truly been born again, listen to me this morning. You are saved to the uttermost. There's nothing that's going to keep you out of heaven. You belong to the Lord. Again, the devil likes to yield that sword because he loves to attack this right here. He discourages and he causes doubt. And when we give in to discouragement and we give in to doubt, guess what? We become weary in our walk with the Lord. And we are rendered useless until we put on all the armor. And we get back into the battle. And we shed those doubts and that discouragement. And we become the soldiers He saved us to be. Amen? Now that'll preach. Because that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. So make sure you're saved. Do a little spiritual inventory. I tell you what, the devil will try to cause you to doubt. And he'll try to chase you all over the county. But remember this, the devil can never chase the child of God past the cross. That place where he fell on his knees under conviction, opened his heart to Christ, and confessed Him as his Savior. Devil can't chase you past that. I can remember the date still I got saved. It's January 14, 1987. I remember it like it was yesterday. 34 years, almost. 33, going on 34. And you know what? The devil can't chase me past. That's the day I knelt on the floor in my grandmother's mobile home and asked Jesus to save me. He can only chase you so far. You say, well, what, preacher? What do you do if you get old and you forget what day? It's not about a day, but you'll know if you've been saved. How do you know? Because you're there. You're going to remember when you invited Christ into your heart. Might not. We're going to get older. Listen, I'm already having trouble remembering stuff. I proved it this morning. Kings, right? I was jumping rabbits. I knew it was in Kings. Just didn't know which one or which chapter. I'm getting old. Shut up. I'm getting old. I know, sister, but you know what? This is what hurts me. When I first surrendered to the ministry, I studied the Word of God and I could remember scriptures just like, I mean, they just boom. And now, I'm lucky to find my way up here to church. That's how bad I am. But I do, sister. That's right. But this is my point, and I'm going to hush with this. Devil's going to yield a sword against us. That's why we have on the whole armor of God. And he doesn't want us retreating. No, he says stand. Stand in your salvation. It's what he's talking about. Stand in it. Listen. That buckler of faith, that shield of faith, that's what we live by. Amen? And that's part of the armor. Helmet of salvation, shield of faith. And what I mean by faith is simply this. In the good times, the just shall live by faith. In the bad times, the just shall live by faith. You see, our faith and our full trust is in the Lord and the Lord alone. So make sure you have all of the armor on. I love where it tells us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know what that means? It means simply this. Believe who Jesus is, believe He saved you, and then just walk in that. Peace. When you're saved, you have peace with God. Have peace. See, Jesus is the foundation of our salvation. And that's what He's talking about. So, is it vital to have on the whole armor of God? Oh, it is. Folks, if you just leave one piece off, you just might get a licking today by your old enemy. And believe me, he's your enemy. And if he's the Lord's enemy, which he is, that makes him your enemy. So if you get a chance to live godly in Christ Jesus, live faithfully and committed into serving him, get a good licking on him. Amen. But stand your ground. Let us not be weak. Well do. We shall. Not we might. We could. We shall reap. If what? Sit, sister. Say it loud again. Say it again. Faint not. We don't quit. We're going to reap. That's the message. My prayer is everybody here is saved. If you're not, the Lord's willing to save you. Maybe you're here and you're discouraged. Why don't you come up and say, Lord, I need some help here. I am discouraged. Help me. Make sure I put on that helmet of salvation and help me with the discouragement. He knows every burden we carry. And he says, you know what? If you'll just come and give me that burden, I'll lift it from you. I'll take it. But our problem is we want to hang on to it for whatever reason. That's right, sister. That's it, sister. That's the way it's got to be. Same thing with doubt. There's been many of us at one time in our walk or many times. Probably more so many times there have been doubts. Listen to me. Isn't it time to say, Lord, I don't want to doubt you. I have no reason to doubt you. I'm just going to trust you. See, understand, and I'm through, I promise. Go ahead, Sister Holly. Brother Bob, come on up. We're going to have an invitation. Understand this about the Father, about the Lord. Even though we're discouraged, going through many things. Even though we have our doubts, understand, the Father loves you, He loves me, and whatever we face, He will be there with us, and what we go through is for our good. And He's never going to do anything to cause us pain. He's going to be with us each step of the way. He will show us and allow us maybe to go through some pain, but But that's growing pains. That causes us to draw closer to Him. But what He does is always going to be right. Just trust Him. May not understand it, but trust Him because He always does that which is right. Amen? Well, if you're here this morning and there's a need, altar's open. If you've experienced His grace, let me just say this. I'll throw this in. If you've experienced His grace, mercy, and salvation, when's the last time you just come to the altar and said, Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving an old wretch like me. I appreciate my salvation. I'm thankful to You, Lord, that You have blessed me above measure. When's the last time you just said, I just love You, Lord? I'm here because I just love You. Whatever God's leading you to do today, do it. Let's stand, please.